वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो थर्ड चैप्टर 26 वर्स नंबर 22nd. That's what it is.
स्वच्छत्वम् अविकारित्वम् स्वच्छत्वम् अविकारित्वम् शान्तत्वम् इति चेतसः शान्तत्वम् इति चेतसः वृत्तिभिर्लक्षणं प्रोक्तम् वृत्तिभिर्लक्षणं प्रोक्तम् यथापां प्रकृतिः परा यथापां प्रकृतिः परा स्वच्छत्वम् अविकारित्वम् शान्तत्वम् इति चेतसः वृत्तिभिर्लक्षणं प्रोक्तम् यथापां प्रकृतिः परा स्वच्छत्वम् अविकारित्वम् शान्तत्वम् इति चेतसः वृत्तिभिर्लक्षणं प्रोक्तम् यथापां प्रकृतिः परा स्वच्छत्वम् क्लारिटी अविकारित्वम् फ्रीडम् फ्रॉम ऑल डिस्ट्रैक्शन शांतत्वम् सेरेनिटी इति दस चेतस ऑफ कॉन्शियसनेस वृत्ति भी बाय कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स लक्षणम् ट्रेट्स प्रोक्तम् कॉल्ड यथा एज अपाम ऑफ वाटर प्रकृति नेचुरल स्टेट para pure translation and purport by his divine grace Srila Prabhupada after the manifestation of mahatattva these features appear simultaneously as water in its natural state before coming in contact with earth is clear sweet and unruffled so the characteristic traits of pure consciousness are complete serenity clarity and freedom from distraction You can repeat the translation. After the manifestation of the Mahatattva, these features appear simultaneously as water in its natural state before coming in contact with earth is clear, sweet and unruffled. So the characteristic traits of pure consciousness are complete serenity, clarity, and freedom from distraction. Purport, the pure status of consciousness or Krishna consciousness exists in the beginning. Just after creation, consciousness is not polluted. The more one becomes materially contaminated, however, the more consciousness becomes obscured. In pure consciousness, one can perceive a slight reflection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As in clear, unagitated water, free from impurities, one can see everything clearly. So in pure consciousness or Krishna consciousness, one can see things as they are. One can see the reflection of Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one can see his own existence as well. This state of consciousness is very pleasing. Transparent and sober. In the beginning, consciousness is pure. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Guru and Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Lalitam Vishi Vishakhanvitamscha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Sri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Pri Manchakalpatrubhyascha Kripasindhubhyascha Patitanama Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Hare Krishna. These verses are explaining the transformation which Mahatattva is going through, which Gopanishad explained the other day what Mahatattva is to some degree. And in yesterday's verse, the mode of goodness became manifested in Mahatattva. And today, after that manifestation, this verse is speaking about the pure soul, which comes in contact with this material nature, and then contamination starts. And a gradual process is explained how the soul becomes, which is very serene, becomes covered over and then acts very opposite to its actual original nature, which is pure nature in Shuddha Sattva. So in the purport, if you see it, Prabhupada begins with explaining that how. It's too loud. Can you reduce? And yes, bro. Prabhupada begins with explaining that in the beginning also, the beginning lines of the purport, that consciousness or the soul is very pure in its natural state. And even in the last sentence, he repeats it again. In the beginning, consciousness is pure. So this is the when creation begins and soul is now going to come in contact with three modes of material nature. So that cycle is explained, at least in this verse. And then after that, how material ego comes in place and how different transformations happen, where mode of goodness, passion, ignorance affects the soul. So the pure soul, which when it comes in contact with the three modes of material nature, what happens is thought waves are produced. In the sense that different desires are produced for that pure soul to enjoy or experience. In a similar way, where this example Prabhupada also explains, when rainwater drops, originally the rainwater is pure in its actual state. But while coming down through the atmosphere, contamination in the atmosphere, or then when it hits the floor, hits the ground, then the mud which covers over the pure water, and that same pure water becomes very contaminated, which you cannot drink, even though the water itself is pure. So that contamination is the covering over of the three modes of material nature and the combinations of these three modes, which is goodness, passion, and ignorance. So once the pure soul comes in contact with these three modes, thought waves are produced, where different programs or plans are made how to enjoy, whether one is in higher planets, middle planets, or lower planets, or even in any of the planets, in any of the spheres of this creation, then these three modes are also acting, and they affect the soul. So with these thought waves, material lust which arises in the heart of the consciousness of the living entity, which is kama or lust, then the soul acts on the basis of the desires which the soul has due to the contact of modes of material nature. And then very interesting thing happens. Once the action is done, whether mentally or physically the action is done,
Of course, physically the action produces more effect. Impression is caused, or which is in Sanskrit called sanskar, or an impression is left on that pure soul, on the consciousness. And then that impression drives further actions of the soul. Just to have a simple example, like few friends, they catch up after many, many years, and then they have a party. So they have pizza party, or they just have they have some drinks, and those friends now are having a very happy time. They're enjoying, there's a lot of fun happening in that party, and all those friends are having amazing time together. So that action which was the party, and then they're having a very happy time based on their own desires. Devotees also do parties, but that are the modes are varying. Some people will do party in mode of goodness, some will do in passion, and some will do in ignorance. So the results are very different of in what mode you party, or you come together, or you enjoy, or you celebrate. Like last night we did, so that was few devotees, they went for one devotee's birthday party. So so prasad was there, all devotees were there, no nonsense talks were happening. Whereas outside people, those who are not devotees, they also party, they also come together. But then the end result, because it's in mode of ignorance or passion, the end result is very, there's a lot of suffering, which ends up in, they just, whole night after the party, they just vomit because too much alcohol has gone in, or fights are there in nightclubs. So that's how the modes are affecting that same desire of coming together and partying. But the modes in which they do it, it affects. Even for devotees, if they overeat, then nighttime can be an issue, too much acidity or indigestion, and morning they can also vomit, but still it is prasad, so what they had. But if they eat also in mode of goodness, then that will also not affect them. Anyways, that was for me. Now when this experience comes, and suppose it is a very good experience, all the people, few friends, they get a very good experience, it leaves a very strong impression on the consciousness of every individual that, oh, it was a gala time. It was such an amazing time we had together. And how these impressions, they work on that pure, we are talking in, as an example. So how these impressions, they work on the consciousness of the living entity is, as soon as something related to that experience comes in front of them. Suppose they see someone taking a pizza box. So that reminds them of that same experience or the impression or the sanskar which is there on the consciousness. Oh, it was such a good party. Oh, it was such a good time. And it opposite also happens. If suppose a very bad experience is there, someone goes for a party and on the way or while coming back, he meets an accident. Then anytime he comes in contact with those similar experience or similar objects which were there, that impression which is a negative impression comes on the consciousness, which is, oh, I met an accident when I was going for this type of party. So that's how sanskar or the impressions, they work. And they play a major role for anyone, materially or spiritually, because we are driven based on our impressions. How thicker our impressions are, how thicker our certain sanskars are, we operate accordingly. Like in, they say, love at first sight. Actually speaking, there is nothing called as love at first sight. It is lust after many, many sights. We just don't remember it. Because certain person, certain personality, certain nature, certain behavior, certain impressions which has become so thicker on our consciousness, it's like photograph taking again and again and again and again. That as soon as we come in contact with the person who displays a thicker impressions which we have on our consciousness, immediately attraction is felt towards that person. And that we call as love at first sight, but no, it is lust after many, many sights, can be many, many births also. So, that's how important sanskar or impressions, they play a role in our lives. And this this can be undone, this damage can be undone for that pure soul, which is like a rainwater coming in contact with the dirt on the material plane. That those impressions, those sanskars can be change or dovetail towards spiritual impressions or spiritual sanskars. And that's why in Vedic culture, from before the birth, before the conception only, there are many sanskars given. Many impressions are given on the parents, on the soul which is coming to this world. After birth, education, like Garbhadhan sanskar, then Annaparashan, and even in moving in a new house, there is a sanskar. Marriage is a sanskar. Then so many sanskars. So we just speak about this sanskar in these impressions in a very general term, that oh, you don't have good sanskars. But actually, it is the impressions which we are getting from every single actions of ours. We do a service in temple. If we like it, naturally that sanskar, that impression which we got from liking that service, pushes us to go to do that service again. And if we don't like it, then mind tricks and it makes us feel that don't do this service again, because you got a negative impression from that. Certain people we meet, especially living together in ashram or living in families, if the impression or the sanskars which we share with each other are positive or negative, based on that we relate and again deal with the devotee, and we forget that these are two souls who are pure actually in nature, who are trying to undo the damage which everyone who has got their own impressions, their own sanskars, are coming in contact with. Then we relate to each other based on our own impressions. So that's how strongly it affects us in all spheres. And that's why there is a lot of emphasis, even though we don't speak in those terms, but actually that's how it's working by all our spiritual activities we do in temple, we are at home, people have deities, so much chanting, devotional activities are happening. Prabhu did an amazing kirtan just now, Guru Puja. It gives a very powerful impact or impression on the consciousness. Oh, next time we see a Prabhu again, then we'll request Prabhu again, can you please do a kirtan again, Prabhu? So that's how all the impressions or the sanskars, they work. So now, once you understand how this damage is done, all the Vedic scriptures or teachings which we have got, they take us towards in the direction of purifying those damages or purifying those impressions which we have already got. You know, there are two types of mind is divided into conscious mind and subconscious mind. So conscious mind is it's easy to deal with. And subconscious mind, if something is there, some impressions have reached our subconscious mind, it's very difficult to deal with. For example, if someone is just developing a habit of using certain words in certain filthy language or certain bad words in their speech, he's just beginning to do it, and someone corrects him. So it's very easy for him to stop using certain words which is not appreciated in public. This, like, if the same habits are there year after year and year after year, then even if you tell him, it's very difficult for that person to stop using those words because it comes so naturally. So that's conscious mind and subconscious mind. You know, chain smoker who is smoking, and you tell him smoking is bad for your health, and he understands it, but as soon as some situation comes where he's in anxiety, he's not thinking, he's not operating, he's not forcefully doing it, but hand naturally goes in the pocket and cigarette comes out, because it has gone to the subconscious mind, and then they have to work so hard to stop doing it. So the impressions, like Chaitanya Charan Prabhu gives a very nice example. He says, mind, he's comparing the mind to a horse, and if we are trying to control the horse, it's easy and it's very smart if you can control the horse. And because horse, when he's right, when you're riding on the horse can turn left or right, but you want to go straight. So it's easy to control the horse in the beginning when he's trying to turn, but once the horse is turned fully and then you want to bring him straight, it takes too much strength, too much energy. So these impressions, if we can identify, okay, this is a negative impression or negative sanskar which is coming on me, on my consciousness, and this already contaminated soul is going to become more contaminated by these actions. In the beginning only, one should try to bring it back on track. Because once the horse turns, once the mind really gets agitated or attracted, or these impressions become more thicker on us, very, very hard. It takes too much hard work to bring it back to the true track, bring it back on the focus point of going straight. So our whole process of Krishna consciousness, if you see Prabhupada, he would sometimes criticize that what is the point of sinning whole week and then going to the church on Sunday and then asking for forgiveness? Because ultimately, next after Sunday you ask forgiveness and then Monday you go and again sin. So what you are doing is, you worked hard on Sunday to bring the horse back, and then Monday again you allowed the horse to go in the other directions. Whereas Prabhupada said, first you stop sinning, and then this process of Krishna consciousness, this purifying process, is going to start undo the damage which the soul has gone of millions of lifetimes where in contact with material nature. So, like Prabhupada uses the example of lighting the fire and then throwing water. So it will never work. If we want our fire of bhakti to grow very strong, very big, then first of all we have to stop throwing water, which is one has to stop sinning. And very clearly he mentions the four regulative principles which Prabhupada has given. If one can stop that, if one can work towards not acting on that, it's very hard sometimes, at least a few of those in the beginning. But if one can work towards avoiding those sinful activities, and then this process of Krishna consciousness on top of it, where looking at the deities, chanting, hearing, reading, these are all positive impressions, and no more negative impressions or very less negative impressions are there, then this whole contamination on the soul can be easily removed. And that's the whole process of bhakti. And that's where it's very important to understand that every single action of mine is giving me an impression. So then one has to judge for themselves whether I'm getting a negative impression or a positive impression, a material impression or a spiritual impression by my certain activities, my certain speech, my certain association. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Asat Sang Tyag Ai Vaishnavachar. A devotee, he gives up the association of non-devotees. He says, Mayavad Bhashya Sunele Hoi Sarunash. If you hear the commentaries or understanding of those who for whom Lord is just metal, marble or wood, and they speak in those language, in those terms, then it contaminates our own consciousness also. You know, a few weeks back, one of the temples in Melbourne, they invited us, and some other group, some other organization, they were doing an interfaith type program, but they were leading the program, and they invited us to come and attend the program. And I have never been to such programs. I've met a couple of, I would say, baby Mayavadis who would just speak some Mayavad philosophy whom themselves don't know much. But first time I was meeting face to face the hardcore ones who really live this life, who really operate in that mentality. So we went there, everyone was with Rudraksh Malas and all, and they were doing some Shiva Yajna. Lord Shiva's Murti was there, and they did some Yajna, and then some Kumbh water was got, they had arranged to come from India. Hopefully it was Kumbh water. So we were discussing, we were devotees, there were very few people were there. And then they had asked us to do chanting on the stage also. So their main person, who was their Mahant, who was their leader of that group, the initial program happened, and then we went to the temple room, and then Aarti happened because it's from Durga temple, so very beautiful temple they've made. So they did Aarti there, and this guy, after the president of the temple spoke and thanked everyone for coming, now this person was he started to speak, And for me, it was first time I was hearing something, someone directly like speaking like this and meeting someone of this mentality. He was saying, yes, we all Hindu groups are there. We all should come together. We should all unite. We also worship Lord Shiva. We also do kirtan for Lord Shiva. And we also come and attend the programs. And then he says, we feel very much connected to him because we are him and he is us. He says, we are Shiva and Shiva is us. And then he said, yes, Brahman, we have to attain Brahman. We have to attain Advaita. Advaita, he would non-stop, he was saying. Of course, in audience, no one had any clue what Advaita means or Brahman means. They were just like common people visiting. But for me, it was like first time meeting such people. And the whole group was in that mentality. One person came and started arguing with one of the devotees. And he said, so easy. You just have to understand, you will become God, I will become God. It's just a matter of time, we'll become God. So, and then he started preaching to the other devotee. Of course, the devotee is well established, so he started giving counter arguments and he wanted to give him book. He said, will I become God by reading it? And all those questions were coming. All those discussions were happening. And then suddenly, they had a big music system, all Bollywood songs only in prayer, all the Bollywood tunes. But you know, in aartis and all, they had transformed. So suddenly, music kirtan started. Shivoham, 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 Shivo means I am Shiva, I am Shiva, I am Shiva. That kirtan started. So it was, and all of us, all devotees, had one thought: Prabhupada saved us. Prabhupada saved us. You know. The most very interesting thing which just suddenly came to my mind a long time back and felt such appreciation for Srila Prabhupada was, you pick up any institution, you pick up any guru, in majority I'm saying in general, who are either in India or who have gone abroad to establish their own philosophy or program. As soon as you talk about that guru or that group, only person comes to your mind is the Guru, not God. You speak of any group. As soon as you speak about the group, neither the philosophy comes into your mind, nor any form of God comes to your mind. Only the leader of the group comes to your mind. I will not name, but you can think in your own mind, any group. And then I was thinking, anyone who speaks about ISKCON, Prabhupada doesn't come in their mind. Krishna comes in the mind. Then I was thinking, oh, that's the quality of a pure devotee. That he's never in front. Never in front. He's always in the background. You know, the devotees were telling, in 1970s, it clicked the devotees after 5 years, that no one knows Prabhupada. He's working so hard to establish Krishna in the forefront, but no one knows Prabhupada. So we have to do something to make Prabhupada popular now. Now this 50th anniversary celebration is happening all over the world. Devotees are trying to make Krishna consciousness popular, and Prabhupada also, because once people know this great personality, Srila Prabhupada, then the philosophy will sink in more faster, more easier. But amazingly, how Prabhupada himself was never in forefront. Whereas you pick up any group, I'm saying in majority, there are some groups who are also bona fide. But in majority, if you pick up any group, neither the philosophy nor any form of God comes in front of you. Only the person who is the founder or the leader, he's projected in front of you. And that's why when the founder or the leader is gone, all those groups, they crash. Because then the fight erupts that who will be the next leader or next face of the group. Whereas Prabhupada, if you see a spiritual institution, because Krishna is in the front, then this disruption is not there in the society. And if the devotees are following the instructions of the acharyas properly. So, you know, and this one thing, we all were there in that meeting. We all were feeling so much appreciation for Srila Prabhupada. And the teachings, because how we attract, people to come to Krishna consciousness is by a spiritual practice, which is kirtan, by prasadam, which is spiritual. But then we were reading their pamphlets or their flyers, and the way to attract was healing. We will heal you. What is healing has to do with spirituality? Some magic was shown on the stage. One girl could read blindfolded. How is that to do with spirituality? How is that to do with the soul, the relationship of the soul with the Lord? So very specific process is also given in Bhagavatam, in Bhagavad Gita also, where a spiritual process is given to realize a spiritual, to realize our spiritual perfection, our spiritual needs. It was amazing experience for me, even though very few people were there, but personally we all learned a lot that day. Now coming back to this purport where Prabhupada is speaking about the pure soul, the pure consciousness, the unagitated water, free from impurities, one can see everything clearly. So in pure consciousness or Krishna consciousness, one can see things as they are. There is a very nice pastime with Srila Prabhupada. Once a yogi was talking to Srila Prabhupada, and they were having a discussion. Even though he was hearing Prabhupada respectfully, he was not arguing. But he was a yogi. What whole life, many years he has done is just yoga postures and lived a life as a yogi. So he was telling Prabhupada, "You tell me a process. You tell me how I can see God. I want to see Krishna. You tell me how I can see Krishna." And then Prabhupada was explaining him this, the philosophy first, how we are not the body, we are soul, and how soul, the whole Krishna conscious process, how we explain from beginning who Krishna is, who God is, what is our relationship with Him. And then he said, "No, you tell me how I can see God. How I can see God. I want to see God face to face." And then Prabhupada, after some time, gave him a very sharp reply. He says, "If you are in a pond of water, and you have lost your key in the pond, small pond or big pond, whatever, and you have lost your key inside, and you are in the water, and water is moving because water is agitated. Water is constantly moving. How will you find the key inside the water? Because you can't see. Water is non-stop moving in the pond, in a small area." He says, "First of all, make the water peaceful. First of all, stop the agitation in the water. Then you can see the key." So Prabhupada was very heavy on him. He said, "First of all, stop the agitation in your mind. Then speak of seeing God. Your mind is agitated and you want to see God. Like the water is agitated and you want to see the key which is thrown in the water. First make the water peaceful. When the water is still, then you can just easily see where the key is." So Prabhupada is impressing on that yogi is that first of all purify the mind and make it peaceful, then even ask that I want to see God, then even claim that you're qualified to see God face to face. I thought that example is very appropriate, which for that Prabhupada's pastime, that many people, whichever background they are from, they say, "We don't mind following whatever you are saying, but show us God. We want to see God. We'll accept anything you say, we'll accept, but show us God. You want to see God. We cannot even see our own eyelids, or we cannot even see what's happening behind us, and we want to see God." So that gives a very strong understanding that how people want to take the most expensive, the most valuable thing in the most cheapest fashion, very easily, very, very easily. And because of this mentality, to get something very, very valuable in almost like a free price, this is a conditioned soul's mentality, which that makes very easier for bogus teachers or gurus to use that mentality and make business out of it. Because they also know people want something very, very valuable in a very cheap price or no price. And then then it makes it very easy for them to exploit and then use people's resources. Like the other day we were discussing, there are groups who would say, who have agendas or who have put forth programs where they are explaining, come and join this few months of program of ours, and that is called Nar Se Narayan Banne Ki Sadhana. The process by which human will become God. So those practices by which human can become God, come and join this course, 3 months course. You know, the amount of money they take is amazing. If you are from out of India, $15,000 to $20,000 you have to pay, and then the other fees are separate. If you are within India, it's 1 lakh rupees and then other expenses. So I don't know whether Nar will become Narayan or human will become God. But those, they will make a lot of money, that is for sure. So Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjun, and the process he mentions to Arjun, for common man, if they try to put that process in practice, naturally it is difficult. Even if you are in good association, it takes some hard work. Even though the process, Krishna says, is so sukham kartum abhyam, it's very joyfully performed, it is not very cheaply done. It's not that easy. The thing which makes this process easier is the joyful, the happy experience which a practitioner experiences while practicing Krishna consciousness. If you see the certain rules, the regulation or the standards which you follow, not to eat this, eat clean food. This is a restriction on us. Certain rules, 4 regulative principles. You know, people just by hearing it, they reject the process. But how devotees are able to do it is because the experience is a happy experience which a devotee feels. So if that happy experience is not there, which is in contact with the Supreme Lord, then the rules and regulations will become harder. You know, Rupa Goswami in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, he says, Satatam Smartabhya Vishnu, Vismartabhya Na Jatuchit, Sarva Vidhi Nishedayor, Eteyor Eva Kinkara. Always remember Krishna, never forget him. All the other rules and regulations are servant to these prominent 2 rules. So when someone is coming new, we give them a happy experience first of remembering Krishna and never forgetting him. And all these rules and regulations are servant to these 2 rules, whether it's a new devotee or whether it's a established devotee. For new devotees, the way to see this is, don't throw rules on them, because rules are harder to follow. And naturally, an attraction for rules will come when a happy experience is achieved by always remembering Krishna and never forgetting him, by serving, by hearing kirtan, by hearing philosophy. When that happy experience is received by a practitioner, by a devotee, by a new person coming, then if you say, Prabhu, it's better you're lighting the fire, now stop throwing water. Means stop sinning now. Don't do sins. And then you will experience this happiness more and more. Then it is easy. But certain people, what they do, because our mindsets are like that, as soon as someone comes, first the rules are given and then some happy experience is given. And what happens? The result is either he runs away or he also becomes a preacher like you in future, who will first give the rules and then give the happy experience. He will not give, the process itself will give the happy experience. So it's very important. And for a practicing devotees who are happily, naturally following the rules, this principle can be applied in a way that when it comes to choose in rigidity or strictness of the rules, or whether this is going to please Krishna, then an advanced devotee chooses not the rules, but pleasing Krishna, or which makes him always remember Krishna. You know, you might have heard that example. There was a very strict, rigid Brahmin who was very proud that how strictly he follows all the rules and regulations of Vedic scriptures. He was very proud of how timely he does his Gayatri every day, minute to minute. He was very specifically morning, afternoon, evening. He does his Gayatri chanting mantras on very specific times. So one day what happened, this guy, this Brahmana, in the evening, like 6 o'clock, he was supposed to do his Gayatri, evening Gayatri, and he was sleeping. So he was sleeping in the evening, and then Kali Yuga itself personified, came as a person and woke up this Brahmana. Hey, this is time for your Gayatri. It's time for your Gayatri. And it was a couple of minutes left and he was very thankful. And he quickly got up, got refreshed and did his Gayatri on time. And then he asked, sir, who are you? Thank you for waking me up. He said, I am Kali Yuga myself, who came and woke you up to do Gayatri. But he was shocked. He said, Kali Yuga means this age deteriorates religion. This age pulls the religion down. And you are coming as a person and you are waking me up so that I can do my Gayatri. Then Kali Yuga explained, if I won't have woken you up and you would be sleeping, then you would miss your Gayatri. And if you would miss your Gayatri mantra on the exact time which you do every day for year after year, then you will become humble. You will not be proud anymore. And if you become humble, you will advance spiritually. But now you are very much proud of strictly following your rules and regulation. So I came and woke you up so that you remain proud and do your things on time, not for the pleasure of the Lord, but for the pleasure of your own false ego, that how strict you are, and then don't advance. So very strong message from this, that sometimes rules have to be put on the back seat and pleasure of Krishna is on the front seat. Where Prabhupada has displayed it so many times, like giving initiation. And in India, concept of having a Brahmacharini ashram in West, it's there because that's what is required for pleasing Krishna, for serving Krishna here, for preaching. In India, it's not there. You just can't do it. You will criticize because that's how the, and no one will even come to even ask. Many few now, maybe, I don't know, soon time may change or will change. Or giving initiation, or even Mataji is going in altar and worshipping deities. Sometimes it cannot happen. So many things Prabhupada installed, so Prabhupada introduced as a acharya, of seeing what pleases Krishna and what the rules are and balancing it and giving priority to pleasing Krishna. But not rejecting rules, but giving first preference to the pleasure of the Lord. So I'll stop there. See if any questions or comments or corrections. If someone dies in a very shocking situation, in a very brutal way, in some cases the impressions are so strong on that person while dying, the physical marks are also appeared on the next birth, in the next birth,
exactly.
And the memories are also there, and that is how impressions are. Very certain, very strong impressions are there on the consciousness, and in next birth they remember those experiences. And few examples which we know even from Dr. Ian Stevenson's research, all these examples are either untimely, they are murdered, they brutally, they died in accidents or something, and those people only they remember in next life how they were there. In, you know, those common people who lived their whole life, then became old, and then 80, 90, they left their bodies. The most of the examples which he mentions are not of those people, because they are not very, very heavy, strong impressions which they can remember how they died, who they were. Maybe some cases are there for a normal person dying, but at least 5-6 examples which I know from his book, all of them are either killed or murdered in accident, they died in plane crash or whatever. So very strong, you know, sometimes, at least I have experienced, you might have also experienced, that certain images or certain situations, you feel, I've been in this situation before, I've gone through this before. So certain impressions are coming and hitting. You know, certain habits, a child comes up, he has not learned from parents, he has not learned from TV, he's a young child. So he has those habits already, and that's previous life's impressions or sanskars which the child also carries.
Exactly. Same thing is hypnosis. Hypnosis, what they do, they bring you to past memories. My own niece, she is a human professor, mathematics in University of Delhi, and she told me she went to one psychiatrist for hypnosis, and then she was told that she was a sweeper in Dubai many years there. So this is all impressions, obviously.
Yeah. Yes, bro. He's saying how to deal with certain situations which give you panic or too much of a very depressing situations. You come in anxiety, it comes in your life. How Krishna consciousness can give a solution to those problems or situations? That's what you're asking. Any example you want to ask? You were also in Dubai. You were working in?
Dubai.
Oh, you were also in Dubai, okay.
I was working here. When I came back to India, and I was having a headache, and I don't know, it was acidity or something, I got a pain in the left side of my chest, and my dad was more than a doctor. So I just called my dad and said that I'm having a heart attack. But until now, anytime I go to the barber shop to have a headache, I feel a bit anxious when I sit on the chair.
Yeah, that's all. That's exactly what I was telling in the class, that if a certain area, certain places, you get a very heavy impression, positive or negative, whenever you come in contact with those situations, it affects you. It really affects you. You know, last week I met an accident. So to make that experience not overpower me, I next day only started driving. Otherwise, if I would have let it sink more and more, oh, I met an accident, car, this, that, then driving would have been such a challenge for me. So next day only I took the car and went out. And I was very scared while driving in the beginning. But I didn't want it to just overpower me. So yes, certain places, areas when you go, this memories will hit you. What can you do? The only thing you can do is remember Krishna that time. Because that will give you a happy experience. Or should give you a happy experience. Or you can stop going to barbers. Dreadlocks is good in fashion. Or the third option is, we can do it for you with machine. No more style required. Simple. So these are the only three options you have. When you are there, remember Krishna and be happy. Try to think something else. Your thoughts should not go into those heart attack memories, which was not a heart attack. Or have long hairs. Don't worry about going to barber anymore. Or we can do it for you. Why not? Chanting, what to speak of that impressions? Their impressions, people, life-threatening impressions. So many impressions people go through. Whole day in our whole life. Chanting is the only solution we have. There is no other process given. But sometimes what happens, that mind cannot catch up with, cannot hold on to the holy name. They do something else. While they are cutting your hairs, just have a photo or read something or hear something. Just put something in your ears. Just hear some kirtan. You may not be able to remember or in your mind or chant. Hairs will go in your mouth if you chant while having a haircut. But you can put some kirtan practically. No? Hear some lecture. Hear some interesting lecture. Actually, what you have to do there is divert your mind. And gradually you will come out of it. Otherwise, the other two options are there. Thank you. Yes, Prabhuji. Take permission from barber before doing this. No, they have to ask him. No, yes, how will he cut you? Like, if you do stand, sit like this, very hard. Suppose they'll take a photo and put on Facebook. Today we got a customer, weird customer. Anything else? Yes. Envy brings us here, but the reason is the pure soul coming in contact with the three modes of material nature.
So after that, what is the primary reason that we choose to be ignorant or passionate?
That verse is in Karana Guna Sangrasya. The association with the modes itself. And when we say modes, then that association with modes not just means there are modes in the air which is affecting you. Here people also who are in different modes you associate with. You know what happens to you that you very quickly take up the process of Krishna consciousness when you come in contact with devotees? What is that? They are in certain mode and that mode affects you. Whether it's pure spiritual mode, and then you meet certain friends who like, let's suppose you move with your new roommates and who like clean house. And you don't have habit of clean place. I'm not saying you, but generally. And then what happens? 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks, they will chastise you, and then you also start to keep your belongings, your area clean, because that association whom you are living with is going to affect you. So now what can happen? Either they will take your association or you will take their association. So either they will start making the house a mess or you will start keeping it clean. So who takes whose association? That affects. So when we go out and meet people, different modes, different area. You are you are working, and so it is recommended for devotees, those who are practicing devotees, do not take association. But then you have to meet people, so just give association. Don't take it. Only two ways it can go: either you give or you take. That's what the purport is saying. In the beginning, consciousness is pure. So now, when pure soul is coming in contact with different modes, which modes the soul come in association with. And when I say modes, that means a lot of things, places, people, which are affected by certain modes. You know, when you go to a nightclub, it's very hard, you know. It's very hard for you to experience the same feeling as you experience in a temple, because modes are very different. Very, very different. The modes are affecting. When you go to uni, like you were only saying one day, when you are at work, sometimes you forget, oh, last 8 hours I have not even remembered Krishna. Because different modes are affecting you. Because in that, here, can you say that? You turn around everywhere, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You will not remember, you will still not remember Krishna. Someone will call you, Hare Krishna Prabhu, whither out? Come here. The area is like that, the place is like that. So the places affect, people affect, environment around you affects. So that's how we come in contact with certain modes. And you know what, some don't feel that, don't think that soul which has come from pure consciousness is now contaminated and that's it. Your contamination can go even further with time. Or your purity can also go, like, can take you back to that pure state also. So it's still happening. Everyday basis it's happening. So it's not that given time, okay, it was pure and now it is contaminated. No, it's still working on you. It's still operating. It's still making you contaminated with time. And that's why very strongly we have to hold on to association of devotees. Anything else? Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Granth Sahib Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Ki Bol.